All right, all right, all right. Here we go. Another edition of Talkin' Dodgers.
The edition.
The edition of your champion 2024 World Series champion Talkin' Dodgers. This episode is brought to you by Rot Your Brain Media and sponsored by Command Creative Studios. Looking to jump into the podcast world and start making your own content? Command Creative Studios is your one-stop shop for professional podcasts. With a team of audio engineers and music composers and graphic designers, Command Creative Studios can get your podcast sounding professional as well as looking professional. For more information, please visit CommandCreativeStudios.com. Player Spotlight, it's the Dodgers win the World Series. We're going to give some props to Dave Roberts, props to Andrew Freeman. We're going to talk some players who we're excited for, who we're just going to recap a little bit of our emotions and how we were feeling when Walker Buehler came in to get the save in Game 5. Mike, I'm going to start with you just because your text messages through that entire game was absurd. And at some point, I think I actually texted Mike and Max and I was like, dude, you better be coming to this episode tonight because there's no way I'm going to be able to contain Mike. He is out of control right now.
All right. So we can recap game 5.
We might want to recap the text messages because those were brutal.
All right. Well, we'll recap game 5 and 6. So at my household, it's funny. So in pre-production, we always talked about close games. And I think two pods ago, Max asked if you'd like to have a close series or a blowout. And I opened my big mouth and said, I'd like to see a close series because I'm a sports fan and I want it to be competitive. And I want it to be excited and intense and close games. Well,
right.
Boy, was I wrong. Man, my kids are trying to go to bed and I'm cursing at the TV, throwing my phone, my hat, yelling at Roberts. And how come this guy's not being swaggered? How could this guy be nervous? How could Hudson not pitch well? You know, this is a World Series. These guys are supposed to be gamers. Like, what is going on? Like, I was going off. I was even going off tonight. There's so much to unravel with all my emotions over the last 2 days. But I was a little concerned. You know, we had a bullpen game 5, right?
Right.
And so we all knew, hey, you know, we're not pitching our best arms. We may get beat, but one of the things that made me super nervous about that is we walk guys on and then give up massive home runs. And
right.
And to me, that gave Judge, you know, the shortstop hit
Volpe.
A grand slam. Volpe,
yeah.
Got a little confidence. Stanton went yard, I think, too.
Yep.
The catcher went yard, Austin. And I felt like, you know, you give a team an inch, you're going to take a mile. And so I was a little bit nervous about their confidence level and getting comfortable. You can see Judge get a little bit more comfortable, not go after the sweepers last game. And you can see him timing it up. And every at bat, you can see he was getting a little bit more comfortable, a little bit comfortable. Yeah. And it was only a matter of time before he started, you know, roping the ball and hitting BBs.
You're not wrong. Yeah.
So then in my head, I thought, okay, let's lose. I was okay with losing game 4. Not that I wanted to, but like, okay, in my head, I'm like, okay, if we're going to lose it, have them beat us, like base hits, singles, stolen base here and there. Have them earn it. But we like gave it to them. And then we get it close and we give up. Honeywell gives up massive home runs.
Well, it's funny. Okay, so real fast. So
I didn't agree with some of the pitching. I would have put in Honeywell before we gave up all the runs. Hudson gave up the grand slam. I agreed with starting Kasperius. I would have brought in Honeywell next, and then maybe
no Knack. Way, dude.
Knack. Hudson's been horrible the whole time.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Honeywell did a little bit better.
Not by much, dude. But let's not forget.
Anyways.
Let's not forget one of the things that kind of freaked me out about it was you kept hearing Muncy talk about how Honeywell was the reason why Betts got his swing back because he was the one that kept pitching to Betts in that off time, trying to get his swing back and going. So what I'm thinking during that game is now all of a sudden you're seeing all these guys getting hits off of Honeywell. Well, it's like, oh crap. Now he just basically like got the beast over here in New York good to go. Now they're going to start hitting the next game. And sure enough, they were hitting.
Yeah.
It was, I think this is what I think happened. And Roberts actually said that someone asked him about Flaherty, and Roberts said there's nothing wrong with Flaherty. But I think the Dodgers thought that there was something wrong with Flaherty. I did hear something that in game one, right before he gave up that two-run homer to Stanton, it looked like he tweaked something. Because remember that he threw a fastball before, and the fastball was slow and it was high, and then the next pitch, Stanton hits it over. Then the very next batter, he only throws one pitch, Roberts takes him out. I mean, he wasn't pitching that bad to take him out, so I think he might have tweaked something in that game, and that's the reason why we knew there was a bullpen game for game four, but it wasn't a bullpen game. They didn't go and they used their big dogs right off the bat. They basically used all their low-level guys for game four. Because I think it was smart because they knew that they were going to need him for Flaherty because Flaherty wasn't feeling 100%. And sure enough, Flaherty, what, he lasts like, I didn't, or did he even innings. Go 2 innings?
He didn't even finish the third. Yeah.
So I think they knew that they were going to need the big guys for his start. So they didn't even attempt to do a real bullpen game. Now, if the Dodgers would have gotten a lead at some point during game four,
yeah, you go for
then,
the throw.
Then they would have made some adjustments. But I think the game plan from that start was, these are the guys we're going to pitch because we know we're going to need these guys the next game. So
I agree with that, but I agree with you. I don't think it had anything to do with Flaherty. I just think that they knew that if they burned up their bullpen and their strong arms in game four and game five came out like it turned out to be, they needed to be able to dig deep into the well to knock out a win, which he did. But back to my emotions in game five.
Let's keep them going.
Oh, dude. While it's fresh off the top of my head, I was driving home and I see a highlight that says, you know, Judge hits a bomb, and I'm like, dude. And then I was like, here we go.
How did the mugging, how'd you feel about the mugging in right field?
Oh, yeah.
Yankees, dude, they're New Yorkers. I mean,
No. Actually, how did you feel about the mugging? You're the New Yorker.
Everybody was pretty disgusted by it. They wanted to get the quote unquote fan death penalty that they're not allowed to go to any games ever any arena because that's ridiculous.
Barstool's praising these guys like right now.
It's the stupidest thing I've ever seen in my life. The guy reached out and grabbed Betts's hand like the second guy coming in. It was literally a mugging. Like, guys, that's for the streets, not in the stadium.
I honestly don't know what's more embarrassing, those two guys or the fact that Barstool Sports wanted to have them on their podcast and then basically just have them recap what they did.
Because it was premeditated. They already had discussed what they would do under that situation.
Yeah, but it's got to happen.
Yeah, but where you're sitting, that's Jeffrey Mayer's area. If you guys don't know who Jeffrey Mayer was,
no.
He kind of robbed a home. He gave Derek Jeter a home run in that famous series against Baltimore Orioles. He kind of reached over and pulled it in, and it wouldn't have been a home run, but they called it a home run.
Yeah, I remember that.
Okay, that's Jeffrey. That's the Jeffrey Mayer area, gotcha. Right? Well, in the old stadium, now it's a new stadium. You guys understand that part, but so those guys, those two freaking imbeciles, they decided, hey, because we're going to be in this area, and you know it's a short right porch. Hey, if the ball's coming here, we're going to do the pretty much the same thing, you know, kind of thing. But they went way too far. Freaking idiots.
I mean, the thing with Barstool...
Nobody's praising them in New York, by the way.
Barstool Sports did it just for the media and the content media attention. And to get it. Like, I don't know. It's like, I don't really... I mean, don't do it, but whatever, man. Like,
bro, that was worse than what they did. Dodger fans did.
It was worse than the Dodger thing?
What the Dodgers did with the San Diego... This is way worse. Way worse. The first guy, Betts' glove was closed. The first guy's trying to open it to take the ball out. Then when Betts went with his other hand to kind of like pull the guy away, the second guy comes, grabs his hand. Like, it's ridiculous. I mean, I've never seen something like that before.
Those guys should never
be allowed to in any major league ballpark.
Well, they also got, I think they got refunded their ticket money as well.
Yeah, they did for the next game. But
they ended up giving their tickets to, I believe it was a kid battling cancer. It was supposed to come earlier in the year. They couldn't make it. They gave the tickets to that kid.
Yeah. I'm not going to say it's assault, but it's...
It's assault, dude.
Those guys are freaking horrendous. Freaking idiots,
They're
man.
Idiots. They're idiots. I don't know, like...
That was assault. Come on,
it's
let's
hard
be honest.
For, it's, okay,
I'm
so,
surprised you're not more... You're not angry about that one.
You know why I'm
Because I would have been pissed.
Okay. there's a, well, now you, well.
Now he's rethinking it.
No, I'm not.
Should I be pissed?
No. Here's the thing. So I love my Dodgers and I love my city, and we unfortunately have a poor history of being poor fans.
Yeah, there's idiots everywhere.
But like, in the past, our fans and local Los Angelinos have assaulted people and put them in the hospital and like,
I get that.
People. So like, it's hard for me to go F you for trying to steal a ball out of a guy's glove. Yeah, I agree because you're totally not wrong. But when my own fans and my own community has like assaulted people and like hurt them physically, like.
Well, here's the thing. In New York,
I don't agree
they'll
with
say
it.
All kinds of stuff to
if,
you.
If I was a different city where that kind of stuff didn't happen at our home stadium outside the ballpark, like I might be a little bit more pissed. I mean, it happened.
New York has a you know, that narrative of being tough. Yes, the fans are tough and stuff like that, but it's usually just verbal stuff, right?
Sure.
They're not throwing things at you. They're not doing that.
Physical altercation.
Yeah, I expect stuff like that out of Philadelphia. I'm sorry, anybody who's a Philly fan listening. Those animals do stuff like that. Yeah. Oh. Once again, with all due respect.
I mean,
those animals do stuff like that.
He didn't get injured. I mean, they got the out. They were trying to do something for their team. Would I do it? No. Would I welcome it with our team? No.
Yeah, but I don't know, man. That was a little too far, man. That's like, it reminded me, that's like, it didn't remind me of anything because I've never seen anything like that. Nobody has. I know, you know, the idiot who threw that water bottle at Ron Artest was pretty bad, and what, you know, the thing with the Dodger with the Profar the other day, but this was worse. This is one of the worst I've ever seen.
I mean, fan interaction with a player.
Bartman was nothing compared to this.
No, well, I mean, fans shouldn't be taking liberties to be getting involved in a professional sports like that, sports game like that, or let alone a professional athlete. Like, who are you to do something like that, you know? But no, whatever. It's a kind of, I guess it was entertainment, shock value for people to talk about. Maybe that's what they thought about.
Yeah,
it is a shock entertainment, kind of like guys streaking and running the field to get attention.
Yeah, game five, you know, as a Yankee fan, it was just, you know, you got to have some respect not to get swept in your home. But you end up getting, you know, what they call the gentleman's sweep, you know, tonight, game five.
So game five, we were down 5-0. And so to recap our text, I was heated. I was pissed off because I thought there was no way in heck we were going to be able to get 5 runs off of Gerrit Cole. To me, he's the best pitcher in baseball, and he proved in this series. It's well known and well documented that I haven't watched. Hell, I've never watched the Astros because F them. But I haven't when Gerrit Cole was them. But I have not watched the Yankees either. But watching him, I believe he outpitched us in Game One, and we won. And tonight, he was dominant. And his fielders let him down.
Oh yeah, it was the perfect storm.
And then we won. And then so in Max in our group text when I basically told Robbie, because we're Dodger fans, it's over. We're done. We blew it. Flaherty blew us a prime opportunity. We're not going to win this game.
Oh, is that how you said it? Well, let me see.
Well, something like that. Yeah. And Robbie goes, "Haha, Mike, relax. There's a lot of game left. This is like the third inning." And I'm like, dude, it's over. And I was just heated, going off, watching Muncy take pitches and be 0-for-13 or whatever he was. Like, I was ready to. I wanted him benched. I wanted to pull Trinan in the seventh. Like, we had nobody left. Like, I was that guy. I was that guy tonight.
You were completely that guy.
I was. I was that guy. Like, throwing a temper tantrum, throwing sodas and hats, and my kids are going, "What's wrong?" And my wife even left the room and watched the game by herself.
At some point, you actually said Ohtani is worthless.
Yes, I did. He texted that. And when I saw that, I was like, Mike is having one today.
Oh, yeah, I did. I wrote Ohtani is worthless because he's like 2-for-17 this series.
And hold my beer. Have you seen Aaron Judge in the World Series in the playoffs this year? Come on, this guy over here, Ohtani's worthless.
The bottom line is I have high expectations for my LA Dodgers, and I expect them to play.
You should have been watching this. You should have been luxuriating this during this playoffs. Okay, first of all, this World Series. Because first of all, you beat San Diego's ace twice. Sure. You beat the Mets ace. You beat the Yankees ace in game one, and now you beat. Why would you be worried? You beat the let's give the credit to where it's credit. Dude, hats off. They beat the two hottest teams in baseball, the Padres and the Mets, and then they beat the best team in the American League. You should not be stressed here.
This is amazing.
You were up 3-0. You know, in the history of baseball, no team who was down 0-3 in the World Series has even made it to Game 6 in the history of... And how long have they been playing the World Series? It almost happened, but it's never happened. They've been playing the World Series for 100... Wow, how many years? You know, it's ridiculous. So you're up 3-0. It's never happened to even get to Game 6, let alone Game 7. So you should have been relaxed, man. You should have been chilling.
Okay. This would be a good point, good time to remind everybody to click that like and subscribe button, help us spread like a virus.
Like a virus.
Talking up the Dodgers.
I think
today.
We went down a rabbit hole a little bit. Let's pull it back a smidge. Okay,
hold on. No. Don't get mad. One last thing. So I got multiple texts, including my wife, asking if I was going to say tonight if I will acknowledge this as a true World Series based on my comments about 2020.
I could do not.
Yeah. Absolutely, 100%. This is a true World Series, and they impressed me. Roberts impressed me. Like, I have nothing to say. Let's
Good segue. Let's talk about Roberts for a second, because I want to give Roberts some props.
Absolutely.
And then we're going to talk Andrew Freeman. So let's talk Roberts really quick.
Well, let people know, you are I don't want to say a supporter of Roberts, but Robbie, you do, you know, you're level-headed with Roberts. Mike, you don't like Roberts.
No, correct.
Well, here's the thing.
Go ahead.
Wait.
Fuck. All right, man. Go, Mike.
He's excited. No. He won the World Series. Let him be.
I'm letting him.
He's happy.
He's earned it. Keep going, Mike. You've earned it. Keep going.
Okay, so you made a great point. So I learned this from Major League Baseball tonight. They interviewed Harold Baines.
Yeah.
Harold Baines was speaking tonight, and you had been telling me all back half of the season how upper management chooses the analytics and chooses the matchups and picks everything out.
He helps. It's a collaborative effort.
Harold Baines said tonight that they believe this year they let Roberts make the decisions and go with his gut and leave the guys in longer and make his choice. Point being is when he went and walked and saw Trinan tonight, and I was yelling, pull him, in our text, and he looked at him in the eye and said, you got one more in you. You want it? And then go back to Swagger.
Manalytics.
Yep. And Roberts goes, I have faith I've trusted you to go strike this dude out. And he struck out. Struck him out. Anyways, I'm just saying little bit of props with Roberts trusting his gut and letting the guy fight through it rather than going with the analytical move and pulling the guy.
Well, there's trusting your gut. There's also looking at your options. And so, after Trinan, the options were not a lot. There weren't a lot of options there.
I thought he went to him early, but yes.
I think he did go to Trinan early, but at the same time, there was nobody else but after Trinan. Walker Buehler wasn't even supposed to be an option. So we'll talk about Buehler in a little bit because he's, out of everything that happened in this World Series, Walker Buehler is probably, I'm most excited about Walker Buehler because of the stuff that we've talked about throughout the episodes of this podcast leading up to the World Series. We'll get to Walker Buehler in a second, but let's talk about Dave Roberts. So we have to give Dave Roberts props and then Andrew Freeman and the organization. And then basically like their game plans throughout the postseason. Roberts knew exactly when to lay off the gas and when to put his foot down when it came time to choosing what to do with the pitching staff, because the Dodgers came into the postseason with really only three starters. We were even questioning the Knack situation. Knack, we thought, was a good option for being the fourth starter. Obviously, when we saw him actually start a game, we knew the reason why he wasn't really that option. We saw what they were able to do with the bullpen, with the bullpen game that they did against San Diego, basically to keep the Dodgers in the postseason. But he played the I think this is the most impressive I've ever been with Dave Roberts. There was obviously a couple of calls that I've expressed my frustration. Why are you sacking? Why are you doing a sack bunt? Why are you trying to do all these bunting moves with your hottest players? But when it came to the pitching staff, he did a phenomenal job for the matchups and when to keep guys in, when to pull them when he needed to. I don't think I really questioned anything too much with him. And I think it's time that everybody just kind of realizes what Dave Roberts is, which he's not the guy who makes all the final decisions for the Dodgers. It's ran by a committee. He's got guys he's got to talk to. Max keeps reminding us all the time. Mike, you just touched base on it. But he has the respect for his players so much that it seems like those guys will go into battle for him. And that is so difficult, I think, especially for the amount of talent that's on the Dodgers, to be able to navigate the egos that have to be there. Because most of these guys would be stars or the guy on somebody else on another team.
Yeah.
I mean, Freeman was the guy. Ohtani was the guy. Betts was the guy on their teams before they came to the Dodgers. And now they share the spotlight with all these other guys that could be the guy on somebody else's team. Teoscar should be the man on somebody else's team. Muncy you've seen him time and time again, 30 home runs, 100 RBIs. Didn't get this year because he got injured. But dude, they coexist with each other. And I think it has a lot to do with how he runs that team and how he's gotten their respect and he gives respect to them.
And he obviously has a good temperament too.
Yeah, good temperament. So, I mean, I'm excited for Dave Roberts. I know that a lot of people have beef with Dave Roberts, but he just basically guaranteed he's going to be the manager for at least another 10 years after this. So.
He's going to get an extension.
Oh, yeah. Dude, he's going to get a lifetime extension at some point.
Yeah, most people who have beef with analytical managers is because they want them to manage more like it's 1986, and it's not. And the game has changed, and a lot of fans people don't understand, like, the game has changed. You don't leave your starter in, you know, past, you know, three times around the... Like, he manages for the way the game is played now. And he's not the best manager in the game, but he's really good. So,
but you got to admit, though, during this postseason, though, it did feel like there was a little bit of 90s management going on there.
Yeah, a little
bit.
With
some stolen bases, with the bunts, with even what he just talked about now, which is going up to Triton, asking Triton if he had a little bit more in him.
Yeah.
And Triton going, yeah, keep me in. I got this guy. And then, all right, and walks away. I mean, I know Roberts has done that in the past, but the way that baseball is now, whenever you see the manager walk out to the mound, that's the hook, right? Yep. Like the first visit is normally from
pitching coach.
The pitching coach.
The first baseman and the catcher, right?
First baseman and the catcher first. But those are the guys supposed to talk him through whatever mechanical issues that he's going through and stuff like that. And then if you're getting the hook, it's the manager coming out there. The manager goes out there and actually leaves him in. Normally, that's rare. And that, I mean, obviously, if it went a different way, we might be saying other things in this podcast, but it didn't. And we just have to also realize or recognize that at the end of the day, we're all just fans talking about a team that we like or being dragged in to talk about a team that your friends like. So it's like, we can sit here and judge all we want, but we don't have the insight conversation that they have behind closed doors and what injuries some guy's going through or talking about like how this guy's pitch actually matches up with this guy's swing and all that kind of stuff. We don't have that kind of knowledge.
Yeah.
Now, granted, I can tell you right now, I feel like I'm like, you know, maybe 80% on my, you know, hey, you should have done this, should have done that, you know, kind of deal thing. I feel like I'm that good at what I've been saying throughout the season, but at the end of the day, we're a fan podcast, and we're supposed to talk people off ledges. We don't have to do that this time because the Dodgers won the World Series. Okay, don't forget to click that like and subscribe button. Help us spread like a virus.
Like a virus.
Let's talk about Andrew Freeman now. So Andrew Freeman is the man that put this team together. And so Max reminded me a couple episodes ago that we have not been giving Andrew Freeman props. And he is absolutely right. We have not. I don't think we have even mentioned his name in like anything saying way to go, good job, or whatever the case is. Let's think about what he did, what he's been able to do. He's got four MVPs on the team. He went out and he got Edmonds. He got Teoscar. He got some pitching, some fragile pitching in Glasnow. Like, and I feel like that might have been misused. No one's perfect. We could talk about that in a later podcast, but they went on and got Yamamoto. He was obviously stellar through the playoffs. He was also the first gen, and I could be wrong. I believe I heard this somewhere, and maybe I should be doing a little bit more research. Max, I'm going to rely on you. Maybe you might be able to figure this out. But I do believe the first pick that, or first draft that Freeman did as the GM for the Dodgers was, or the president, whatever he is, was actually Walker Buehler. That was the first guy that he drafted was Walker Buehler.
Look at that. I could look it up, but yeah.
If you could look it up, that'd be great. I think it was 2015. Regardless, the team that's there right now is basically because he put it together. And not only did he put it put together a team that, you know, has won the World Series twice, but has also been in the playoffs every single year since he has been the GM. It's been like, makes it so we're a competitive baseball team that people hates us. They hates the Dodgers, but we always look forward to the next season because we know that we're going to be in the hunt for a championship.
You know, you guys know I do consume a lot of baseball during the summer because there's nothing else. And, you know, while I'm working, I usually have something on, right?
Right.
One thing I noticed this year, because I was forced to be on this podcast and watched a lot and paid attention, I'll say, to the Dodgers compared to other teams, you know, the amount of injuries that they went through this year, other teams would have been decimated. But yet, not only did they thrive, they ended up with the best record in baseball.
Yeah.
And they just called up pitchers, you know, I've never even heard of, and they performed. That just credits your general manager and the organization's ability to not only draft, but develop. They made shrewd trades. That Edmund trade was extremely shrewd. Every team in the playoffs could have signed that, could have made that trade, but they did, right? So you got to give them credit for that. Yeah. And of course, signing studs. I mean, Ohtani's contract is tied directly to Andrew Friedman. If he leaves, Ohtani gets an automatic opt-out.
And then Roberts, that's how, and I think it's Roberts also. I think
the owner, the ownership, or the ownership group or something like
something
that.
Like that, yeah.
So that's how players are seeing him, that they trust his team building and the organization that they put together.
The stability.
That is huge. You never heard stuff like this before, right? So he's done a tremendous job, and they probably this would have been the third if Houston wasn't cheating. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
And for all the years you guys have told me that they failed in the playoffs, it was, you know, well, you know, the pitching was there, the hitting. This, they can't, think about it. You guys went into the playoffs with three freaking pitchers. You're doing bullpen games in the World Series. What? That's unheard of. And no, yet you're winning.
Yeah.
You won the World Series with having to do bullpen games. That is just a credit to the organization. They have like three closers in the bullpen, circular lineup. I mean, they were by far the best team in baseball all year round with a massive amount of injuries. So
yeah,
that's impressive.
That's a praise from a diehard Yankee fan.
Who doesn't like his own general manager.
Oh, man.
Don't get me started with that, but
Mike, what do you got to say about Andrew Freeman? What do you got to say about this Dodger team? What do you got to say about Roberts? I didn't even ask you about Roberts.
Yeah, he's the one that doesn't like Roberts.
Don't tell me you went to sleep already. You're fired up. What do you got?
No, I was...
He's putting his thoughts together.
I was analyzing my thoughts on Roberts. So you guys touched base on a couple things. So, Robbie, you touched base on it again, and I mentioned earlier how he went in to, you know, had a meeting at the mound and left his guys in. Well, in the past couple World's playoffs instances, I've been critical of him leaving players in too long and them folding under pressure. Kershaw was one of those people we talked about, Ron.
Yeah.
He stuck to his guns in trusting the player to get through that tight situation for his team, and I was really impressed on that. And then I don't know if you brought it up earlier or not, Buehler saying, "I want to close the game out and win the World Series for you." Fact that he actually gave him that option. I know we didn't have a ton of options in the bullpen at the moment.
We haven't talked about that yet, but that's the next on the list.
But this year, I believe Roberts grew as a manager. I mean, he was always good, but I think this put him in, dare I say it, the Joe Torres of the world and the elite level managers of the world based on this year and the hurdles that the team had to overcome.
You're talking about Hall of Fame manager.
Absolutely. I think he's right there.
Say it.
He's in there.
Say it.
Yeah. You can say it. Dave Roberts is a Hall of Fame manager.
No.
He is. I wanted him to say.
You look at his win percentage for how many years he has, win percentage-wise. He's like, who's the big manager for the Braves?
Bobby Cox?
Bobby Cox.
Bobby Cox won, how many pennant or
World Series?
No, they only won one World Series. Yeah, one. But they won their division. It was like...
I'm gonna
we could look it up. I think it was like 11 forever. Or 12 times.
I'm going to repeat this one more time.
I'm pulling that off.
I'm going to repeat this one more time because I said it. We don't play to win divisions and pennants. We win with the world championship.
Oh, he sounds like a Yankee fan
now. Dude,
let me finish.
Oh, you can finish because I'm about to crush you, but go right ahead.
You can crush me. If he wins a couple more World Series, yes, Hall of Fame manager. Okay. I would like to see us get 3 to 5 titles with him. Under with him as a manager.
Hey, is Tommy Lasorda in the world? Or is he a Hall of Fame manager? The answer is yes. His number's been retired. He is a Hall of Fame manager. How many World Series titles did he manage?
Two.
How many World Series titles did Dave Roberts manage?
Two and or one and a half.
So give him one and a half. Okay.
Seriously, still in that half?
How many division titles?
11 out of 12, but like I said, I'll go back to it again. The whole goal of playing baseball is to win a World Series, not a division.
I guarantee you there's a lot of managers in the world in the Hall of Fame that only have one World Series championship under their belt.
I'm not discounting it. I'm just saying that with the way the team is built by our general manager and Friedman, I expect...
Should be more. And I agree with that.
I'm not saying that he's not good, but based on the team that's been built, I would love to see us to be a dynasty... From here, moving forward.
Think about this. We just won the World Series the first year of Ohtani's contract. The very first year. And then everyone said, like, World Series or bust, or it's going to be a failure for the contract, blah, blah, blah. We won the World Series the first year of Ohtani's contract.
I understand that.
So, I mean, there's going to be a lot more seasons for him to get a couple more.
And that's what I'm looking forward to. Max is right.
Like, I mean, if it wasn't for the cheating Astros, there we would have 3 World Series championships under Dave Roberts.
But we don't.
And I understand that. But we don't. True. But there should be. But we don't. But you got to give credit. You got to give the credit to him now. Like, you have to give the credit to him.
Absolutely.
He managed an incredible postseason. He handled it. You know, and also, look at the pieces that he had for the years that he lost, right? As far as the pitching staff. Starters, right? Dude, he went into the postseason with really one reliable pitcher, which was Flaherty, and you had a broken Yamamoto, and you had another pitcher that nobody had any faith in because he wasn't pitching like he was 2 years ago. And he took those three guys with an incredible bullpen and obviously some talented, you know, hitters, and look what those starters were able to do in the World Series, with the exception of Flaherty in the second game. Dude, you had Walker Buehler close out. He saved game. He was the saving pitcher for game 5, which I want to talk about Buehler.
A couple of things.
I just want to see the Dodgers become a dynasty, much like the Yankees were with the Jeter years.
We can also celebrate them on the day that they just won the World Series, Mike.
I'm not.
Today they just won the World Series.
I know, but that's not what you asked me. You asked me if I thought he was a Hall of Fame manager. You didn't ask me if I was happy that we won a title.
I think Max asked you that.
I didn't ask you that. But I expect our Dodgers to win titles every year. That's an expectation.
And I think that's give it props to Andrew Friedman for the team that he put together.
I'm not discounting that that our management and Roberts did not do a great job this year. I'm just saying, as a fan of baseball and a fan of my Dodgers, I expect to win titles every year, and I expect to have some swagger and knock everybody's junk in the dirt every year. That's my expectation.
He hasn't done enough to be a Hall of Famer yet. I think this is a good step.
But based on what happened this season, I would be hard pressed not to see us win 4 more titles.
Oh, okay.
Based off of what I saw this year, it's hard to win.
Yeah.
No, but listen, what you talked about the adversity this year.
Yeah.
Look at that. On the TV right there.
Yeah.
All the adversity that this team faced, all the pitchers that we lost, and all the injuries, Ohtani hurting his shoulder game two or game three. Sorry. What
You think after you stole over 50 bases, you know how to steal properly?
I agree. All I'm alluding to is with all the challenges that the Dodgers faced this year, and the fact that we took out San Diego, won a title, I expect this team finally came over the hump, or as us and as organization, mm-hmm. to go on a run for 5 or 6 more.
I respect that.
I'm not saying we didn't win a title, and that I'm not happy. I'm just saying, hey, let's go win 4 more.
I agree with that.
That's Walker Buehler, Robbie. Go ahead.
That's it.
What was the more stressful series? Was it San Diego? Was it Mets? Or was it the World Series?
World Series.
World Series was the most stressful?
Not San Diego. You faced elimination in San Diego.
Oh, man, San Diego's still the most stressful.
Yeah, you faced elimination. You don't think so?
No.
The reason why I think it was San Diego, because I think San Diego was the only team that I think could have actually beaten the Dodgers. I never once thought the Mets could beat the Dodgers, and I never thought the Yankees could beat the Dodgers.
So we talked about swagger, right? I talked about it a ton. I felt the Dodgers were on a championship run through the playoffs after we beat San Diego. My fear was we were going to run out of steam mm-hmm. midway through the series. That's why I was so passionate in game 4. I was afraid we were going to run out of steam because we went on a heck of a run. I mean, a lot of teams, you beat the Padres like that, and that's almost a world championship caliber matchup.
Yeah.
And you run out of steam after that. And then we face the Mets who, let's be honest, like the Mets aren't exactly, I mean, would you call them a top 5 baseball team in the National League?
Top 5?
Yeah. Okay, let's call
I would say 5,
top 3?
Yeah.
I mean, they weren't better than the Phillies. I mean, I know they beat them, but
on paper. From May on, they were better than the Phillies.
I didn't believe that the Mets were any challenge to us, I guess, right? So I felt a little bit on edge because I didn't want to see us blow it in the World Series. That's all. We won, and now it's like, okay, who's going to stop us now? That's kind of my thought, you know? That's why I was nervous. We need to get that title.
Some house cleaning, and that was segueing into Walker Buehler. Bobby Cox won 14 consecutive division titles.
14.
And Andrew Friedman is not the GM. He's obviously the president.
Yeah, I corrected that.
And he was his first year. They did draft Walker Buehler in 2015.
Yep. Okay. I mean, he's the president, but he's making all the work. He's
yeah. The
GM guy. I can't remember his name.
The legwork.
He went to the Giants, and I can't remember the name of the new guy. Anyway,
Gomes. Hold on. Let me see. I think.
Really quick, don't forget to click that like and subscribe button. Help us spread like a virus.
Like a virus.
Let's talk Walker Buehler for a second.
Resign.
Oh, Brandon Gomes.
Resign.
Brandon Gomes, yeah. Obviously resign. But I just want to make it clear for everybody that's listened to this podcast, I would say since Buehler came back from his second injury, even before that, even first injury, but let's say the second stint on the IL this season, we have been a big fan of Buehler, talking about how we would need him in the postseason. I know Mike has said his piece on how we need him. I know that Max has looked at the stats in the postseason and said his piece on how he thought that the Dodgers needed him. But it seemed like everybody had Walker Buehler written off from any other podcast that I listened to, any other person writing about him. Even David Vasse had his things to say about him. And Walker Buehler showed up big time. I think his first game with the Padres, he doesn't get the credit that he should have gotten because really those earned runs that came against him was not his fault. I think maybe 2 of those you could have given him, but the other ones was just poor defense. Not as poor as the Yankees is what they did, but it was very similar. It was basically, it was a 5 or 6 run debacle of just not playing smart baseball, not making the plays that they should have made, and just basically giving the game away to the other opponent. And that's what the Yankees did in this game, and that's what the Dodgers did with the Padres in the first series. But after that, Buehler lived up to what we thought, I think, and then some. We didn't get a chance to talk about the game that he pitched in the series. Let me go and look at those stats really fast. I know I wasn't going to do a stat thing really quick, but I feel like we should talk about Buehler just for a second because Buehler came in and he pitched 5 scoreless innings.
He dominated
that game. He walked two, struck out five. His pitch count was pretty low when they took him out, but I could see, and this is where I think that Roberts could have gotten in trouble and he could have left him in a little too long. He was starting to get hit hard in the fifth inning, and he took him out for the sixth inning and relied on the bullpen to finish out the game. But Buehler looked vintage Buehler. He had a lot of swing and miss. He had a lot of life on the fastball. Even Smoltz, who loves the sound of his voice, and I feel like he thought that he was actually the play-by-play announcer because he talked way more.
I like John Smoltz.
I like John Smoltz, but I also like to hear Joe Davis talk a little bit, and Smoltz kept just taking away the thunder from him. But anyways, even he kept saying time and time again, the fastball, life on the fastball, explaining what it means to have a fastball with some zip on it and stuff. And he was just praising Buehler the entire time. And it was just good to see that Buehler was finally, after the really bad regular season, I think he only got one win in the regular season. He had that start with the Padres. And then after that, it was like locked in Buehler. Locked in to the point that the Dodgers knew that he was locked in. They decided to use him for game three instead of four and go with one bullpen game instead of two bullpen games in case they need him for the game seven. But then to lead us into this game right now. So you hear Andrew Freeman talk about, and then I think even Dave Roberts talk about, Buehler goes up to them in the beginning of the game and says, hey, I'm available if you need me. I want to pitch. And they both basically kind of blow him off like, oh, we're not going to need you. Don't worry about it. And then the sixth inning, he goes up to him. He goes up to Roberts and says, I'm going to the bullpen. I'm going to be in there if you need me. And he goes to the bullpen and starts warming up. And what happens? Obviously, we had the debacle with Flaherty that led into going to the bullpen a little bit sooner than they anticipated. Obviously, they went to Triton in the seventh inning?
Yeah, seventh inning.
Seventh inning, and there's no way. We all knew there's no way Triton's going to pitch three innings. No. There was no way. And we're all thinking, who's our option? It better not be Hudson. There's no way it's going to be Knack. Like who's the option? Bueller's sitting right there, and you see him on the screen warming up. We're like, are they going to go to Buehler? That would be amazing. Granted, there was not a lot of options. I get that. But to have Buehler close out Game 5, which could potentially be his last time pitching as a Dodger because he is a free agent, was awesome. I'm ecstatic. I'm ecstatic that Ohtani gets his first championship. I'm ecstatic that the Los Angeles gets their second World Series. I'm ecstatic that the Dodgers win the World Series for all the individual players that are there. But for Buehler to be able to battle through this entire season to come back and be able to not only pitch a shutout game in the World Series, but then to come out and close the last game, that's Oral Hershiser.
He was throwing 97 miles an hour in relief duty.
Yeah.
He was throwing gas.
Yeah, it was awesome to see.
He dominated that inning.
I know.
That was even close.
Vasse tries to interview him in the clubhouse afterwards during the champagne party. And he basically tells, and I'm not going to use the exact words, but he tells Vasse, dude, I felt like I was going to get DFA'd by this effing team. I got to go drink now. I got to go party. See you later. And he walks away from him and goes back in. But he basically said like, dude, I thought I was done. I thought these guys were going to release me. I didn't think I was going to make it this far. I mean, that's just awesome.
Yeah, he definitely came through a lot of adversity in his career the last several years. And I think he's a key piece of the Dodgers moving forward.
I think it is.
His confidence, his swagger, and the spotlight's not too big for him. I'd love to see him in a Dodger uniform for another couple years for sure.
It goes back to what we talk about with Kike. What I've been talking about Kike. Like,
another one, yeah.
Like where it's like, there's just players that are built for big moments. And when we talk about comparing, I know it's not a fair comparison, but I compared Kike to Judge, where Judge is like this amazing baseball player through the regular season. But in the postseason, he kind of fades away. He hasn't become that player in the postseason, which most likely he probably will. He's going to have definitely more opportunities in the postseason to kind of figure out how to hit in that world. But Kike's numbers are better than Judge's numbers. They've had the same amount of at-bats. It's like the same amount of plate appearances, something crazy like that. I can't remember, but it's like Kike's better than he is. Those are the guys you want to sign because you're on a team right now you know is going to make the playoffs, right? The Dodgers are going to make the playoffs pretty much every single year. They may not win their division every single year, but now with the way the wild card's set up, they're going to get in. It's just going to happen. Don't you want to have those clutch guys available in the playoffs? Kike is one of those guys, and Walker Buehler is definitely one of those guys. He's a big game pitcher. So I really hope they re-sign him, figure out a way to make it work. Hopefully they go to like a 7-8 man rotation. And because
we were talking about it,
but
you're talking about six of the season. Now we want to do eight.
Look at the pitchers they're surrounding him with. There's nobody like, yeah. I think Flaherty might be out as an option. Well, we could talk about him as in a later date, as far as like, do you bring him back or not? But if you're looking at the pitchers that you have that are already under contract and the pitchers that you'd want to add to it, Buehler's got to be on the top of your list just because he's going to bring it in the postseason.
According to SportTrack, they're projecting, you know, because of his history, his struggles, this is obviously before the postseason, that he would get, his market value is a 1-year deal half of that, $3.8 million.
Oh, really?
Yeah. For whatever that's worth.
Huh? Go ahead.
For whatever that's worth, it's probably I think that's far too low, because there's been pitchers this year who signed 1-year $10 million deal, show me deals, you know
after,
what I mean?
After what
3.8 is a lot lower than I expect.
I bet she's worth 8.
That's going to be revised after where they just saw
I'm sure.
the postseason.
I'm sure.
I could see him getting a 1-10 year somewhere.
Yeah, because a lot of pitchers this year got 1-year 10. Pitchers who had like 6 ERAs last year or coming back from, you know, Tommy John or something like that, they gave them, you know, 1-year show me deal, and now they'll cash in this year, so.
Well, I think...
Because Buehler's, how old is he? He's
30.
Is he?
He's in his 30s because he's in college.
Yeah, he's 30.
This is, like I said, this is his
late.
This is his one time
to cash in.
So he can either do the 1-2 year deal, the prove me contract,
or the
Dodgers can do him a solid and they can go, look, we got faith in you that you're going to be at least a 5-year pitcher. Here's a 5-year with an opt out after 2 or 3 or something like that. I don't know.
My hope is he loves organization enough in the team and the camaraderie of challenging for a title every year that money's not the ultimate deciding factor on where he signs, and I hope he just comes back to us.
I mean, he is a risk. I mean, he's hurt a lot.
He said it tonight. He just wants to win and compete, so I'm hoping winning a title is more important than money. But
maybe
we'll
he becomes your future closer.
Already have 3 on the roster.
Trine is a free agent also.
Oh, he is? Okay.
Yeah.
There you go.
And Phillips is hurt, so who knows?
Yeah, but anyways, nonetheless.
And Kopech kind of comes a little not as accurate as you'd like him to be.
Yeah, man, I think he's probably best suited in middle.
I think the bright lights got to Kopech, in my opinion.
Yeah, he did come from the freaking White Sox. So.
He did. He
never even saw bright lights over there. He had no idea what was happening.
No, no.
Yeah, but we won a title, baby.
Yeah.
Robbie.
We did. I hope the Dodgers do the right thing and they get an extra ring and they send it to Soto, because of his play in right field, he really helped the Dodgers win a championship. I'm not going to get over it. And I'm going to say this. I really hope the Dodgers do not go full out for Soto. I think he's a bad mix as far as defense and offense. I think he can hit for sure, but I think what he lacks, and so Smoltz kept saying this also in the broadcast, which maybe I already said this earlier today. I don't know if I talked to you, I said this to you, Mike, before we started the broadcast or before we started this episode or not, but Smoltz kept saying this and he was absolutely right. He's like, during the regular season, you can hide your flaws because there's so many games.
Yeah,
but once you actually make it to the postseason, those flaws stick out a lot. And that's kind of what happened to the Yankees. The Yankees lost Game 1 and the Yankees lost Game 5 because of their defense. It wasn't because of their pitching. It was because of their defense.
Yeah. We didn't bring it up at all yet. And you're right. Smoltz did bring that up. And you and I talked offline, how big of a deal with that misplay and was in right field off the wall. And then obviously, you know, I don't see hustle in him. He's got a, like...
You're talking about Soto?
Soto in the field, yeah. No,
it's not hustle. Hustle is Torres.
I don't know what it is. It's
Torres is the one that's nonchalant with his defensive plays, and that's why he does so many errors. Soto is just a lack of defensive awareness, I'll call it.
All right, okay,
It's not a hustle. I watched him all year. It's not a hustle.
That's
hustle. He has a good arm. but he doesn't. He just. I don't know if they never taught him how to properly play outfield.
He
but,
just doesn't read the ball very well. Let's just say that.
That's his biggest thing.
Bad routes to the ball, and that caused.
But it's not an effort thing.
That's what I meant. The description I was looking for: defensive awareness and his routes and his angles to read the ball is horrible.
They're terrible.
Yeah,
they're absolutely terrible. But we don't need to bash on the Yankees right now. We just wanted to point out that, and I just don't think the Dodgers should go after him. But let's talk about, we can talk about all we talked about the pitching. We talked about the starting pitching. We talked about the bullpen. We talked about, we stuck on Walker Buehler. We could talk about Freddie Freeman, which I don't know if we've even talked about this yet. Four consecutive games with the Dodgers with a home run. Game one, game two, game three, game four. But then also he had the last two games in Atlanta in the World Series. He had a home run there as well. So he had six consecutive games of hitting a home run, which obviously is a record. He broke the franchise record for RBIs in the postseason. For the World Series, which was
12.
For all the stuff that Freeman went through the regular season, stuff with his kid, having to take time off, deal with that, spraining his ankle before the postseason started, and he was a shell of himself in the series against the Padres. He was a shell of himself in the National League Championship Series where he was taking days off. We were recommending days off. I was suggesting, I didn't understand why he started the game that they lost to New York. I thought he should have, they were already up 3-0 or something like that. They should be sitting him and resting him. And then all of a sudden he starts to catch fire in the World Series. Hits a triple because of the triple was left field, I believe, right? Yeah, that was because Verdugo misplayed the ball off of the wall. Gets a triple on his bad leg. Then all of a sudden he hits a walk-off grand slam. Then he hits a home run in game two. He hits a home run in game three. He hits a home run in game four. This guy saved all of his bullets, really, for the World Series. And we do not win the World Series without Freddie Freeman, obviously. He doesn't have that walk-off home run. We're not winning game one. So with all those RBIs, him alone, before the offensive outburst that the Yankees had in game four, he was out-hitting the entire Yankees lineup. He had more home runs than them. He had more RBIs than them. He had more hits than them. He was destroying them. So props to Freddie Freeman.
I did not see him playing or hitting the ball like he did. Because he was injured and he was struggling in the NLCS. But dude, what a gamer. Talk about swagger. Hit a huge hit tonight. We had 0-2 or 1-2 count after Betts beat out that grounder to first up the middle to keep it going. Then he scored on that
Teoscar's
double. He scored from, first, right?
Yeah, he was on first.
Scored for first, to tie it up. I have the utmost respect for that guy. I always liked him as the way he carried himself. But after this World Series and learning more and more about him, you couldn't ask for a better professional to represent the Dodgers.
Absolutely. And
the game of baseball, he doesn't have an ego, and he was super modest, and everybody's trying to give him props in his interviews, and he kept pushing off on team. It's not on me. If guys weren't on base, I wouldn't get RBIs. He was all about the team. I already had an appreciation for him, but it's that much more after the way he played and the way he carries himself as a professional, and the props to his dad. Talking about his storyline with his dad. He lost his mom to cancer at 12.
Yeah.
Then his dad wasn't taking care of himself, was in the hospital, wasn't going to make it through the night. And then his dad promised to get better. And then he gave props to his dad about the Grand Slam, how his dad stayed late and after work had dedicated his time into helping Freddie become the baseball player that he is today. It was just a great story. And
that's every dad's dream, to be honest with you.
Absolutely.
Is to have their kid thank them after they hit a walk-off grand slam in the World Series.
But the fact that he didn't remember all those nights where he may not wanted to do BP, and maybe his dad was tired, but his dad,
said he had no cartilage in his arm anymore.
Yeah, and his dad, busted his butt probably at work all day, and then threw BP to his son till the lights were off to help him get to where he wanted to be. I just think the whole storyline of all that is amazing, and you don't hear that kind of storyline a lot anymore.
Hey, Andrew Freeman's a good Freddie Freeman's a great baseball player. I'm glad Andrew Freeman got him because if that's another piece, if you don't get him, I don't think the Dodgers win the World Series.
Agreed.
Okay. Man, there's like so much we could talk about.
I got a subject.
Okay, I was gonna wrap it, but go for it.
What are your thoughts? I know Shohei Ohtani got hurt, but he didn't really contribute much in the World Series. I was surprised that we won the way we did without a big contribution from Shohei throughout the series as a whole. What are your thoughts?
Freddie Freeman.
Aside from Freddie, but I'm just...
That's a credit to your organization to making sure a team is put around one player because, you know, look at who you were facing. Judge didn't perform and you saw the team, you know, not pick him up.
Yeah.
Except for the game that they did win.
Sure.
You know, that bottom of the lineup helped pick him up. So it's a credit to the organization that... You don't need Ohtani to do Ohtani things every game because you still have Betts, you still have Freeman, you have Hernandez, you got Smith, Muncy, even those guys struggled, but during the course of the year in other series, they did perform. So that's a credit to the organization.
Yeah. I mean, imagine if he was batting 400 in the World Series. I mean, how much better we would have been. It just the team as a whole for the next 5 years is going to be very promising.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what they do in the offseason, especially like with the players we want them to extend, the players that are going to be available, who we want them to go after, who we don't want them to go after. I mean, like looking at starting pitching, who's going to be healthy next year? Who's going to, like, if Glasnow doesn't need surgery, which I highly doubt it, but let's say Glasnow is healthy, who goes into next season? You're going to have Ohtani, you're going to have Yamamoto, you're going to have a Gavin Stone. Dustin Mays is going to be coming back. You got Gonsolin is going to be there. Kershaw. Like right there, I've just named 7 starters.
Yeah.
And we still want them to sign Walker Buehler because we don't want to see Buehler in another uniform.
No.
That's 8. So it's one thing that this year and last year showed us and the year before that, you can never have enough starting pitching. I think there is something to say about having a 6-man rotation, possibly even a 7-man rotation, something like maybe even having guys start on the IL, knowing that they're going to come back at some point. So there'll be their guy that comes in once someone else gets hurt. Like if the Dodgers didn't have Walker Buehler coming back from his second Tommy John surgery, who else would they have put in there to start those game threes? They were limited. They had nobody else. And that's with starting with already too much pitching. And that's with also getting Jack Flaherty. Like, so it's going to be interesting to see what they do, what their game plan is going to be with starting pitching now that you're going to have Ohtani coming back and you have the 2 Japanese pitchers who prefer to pitch on 6 days of rest instead of 5 days of rest. So I think they got to build their starting rotation around that considering the fragile arms they already have. So that's going to be interesting. And then looking at the offense stuff, who do they get? I know Soto's available. I've expressed my opinions about Soto. I don't think he's a good fit for the Dodgers. He's a good fit bat-wise because he gets on base. He draws more walks, I believe, more than Muncy. Like, he'll get on base. He'll create havoc. And that's something you do want. But I do think his glove is just too much of a liability I think you need a right fielder replacement because I think they are going to try to move Lux and bring Mookie Betts into the infield. I think with Tommy Edmonds playing short, you have Mookie playing second base. You use Gavin Lux. He's kind of hot. You can, as far as how many pieces you can get for him, I think you can trade him and get some bullpen pieces, some stuff of some guys to replace. It's going to be fun. The offseason, I always love the offseason because the offseason, you always look at the potential of the players and the potential of what your team can be to build up towards a championship. Coming off of a championship year, though, maybe it's not as exciting, but, you know, it'll be exciting regardless. On that note, unless anyone wants to add anything else.
Shout out to Yamamoto for dominating in the playoffs.
Shout out also to Yamamoto for dominating the playoffs. Hopefully with his small stature that he can stay healthy. Because, you know, hopefully they do the 6-man rotation and they bring him some sticky balls. Max, you want to add anything?
No, Yamamoto paid, you know, was worth the money, right? He got a title out of it, so it's worth the money. Even if he's hurt, you know, every other year, it was still worth it.
Well, he was shit.
He won some big games this year.
He didn't look very good. He gave up a lot of runs in the regular season a few times, which...
Well, that's adjusting to the league, right? Maybe?
I don't know. But all I'm alluding to is he pitched... when the bright lights were on, and pitched well.
Since San Diego series, he was money.
So shout out to Yamamoto for coming up big in big time spots.
One more shout out, though, I'm going to give it to Max Muncy. His bat may not have been there during the World Series, but his glove throughout the entire postseason, he played a phenomenal third base. He made a lot of routine plays, made a lot of plays that were difficult look routine, and he gets a lot of criticism on not being a gold glove third baseman like Machado or like an Arenado or something on someone, but he looked extremely good at third base. So his bat might not have been there in the World Series, but his glove definitely was. And so Muncy, I think, needs a shout out for that for sure. And Edmonds playing shortstop, shout out there. And Mookie Betts in right field needs a shout out. And, you know, Will Smith for calling great games behind the plate needs a shout out. Needs to work on his framing, though. It's terrible.
And his blocking.
Huh?
And his blocking.
Oh, those pitches from Bonda, where those are out of control, man. Like, no one's blocking those, dude. those are nasty. Okay. That's going to do it for this episode of Talking Dodgers. This episode of Talking About Your World Series Champion Dodgers 2024. I'll come up with a better slogan than that.
Yeah, I think you need to rewind and start that to do that whole thing over.
We're gonna go down to one episode a week starting next week. We're gonna talk amongst ourselves to figure out what day works best for us. Oh, we got a little thing of magic. Let's throw this on the video feed really quick. Also, for all those, we're on YouTube. If you want to see our lovely faces, go check out our YouTube page. We're also on all kinds of social media. We're on X, we're on Instagram. We even got a Facebook page.
Yeah, TikTok.
And TikTok. So we're doing it. We're working it. We're trying to become legit. Go check out our Patreon page at patreon.com/RogerBrainMedia. All of your contributions help us create new content and help us grow. Keep the lights on, buy coffee, pay the rent. You know, maybe an occasional beer here and there. New content coming from other episodes or other shows is in the works. We're just talking about amongst ourselves, bringing back old classic favorites like Extremis. But also maybe doing a football podcast and doing some other stuff.
Maybe on the Jets.
Maybe on the Jets.
You don't want to do that.
I don't know if it's
World champion Dodgers. It sounds good to hear. That's all I got to say.
If it's Max venting about the Jets for an hour, I will be tuning in for that for sure. That would be an amazing episode. We'll Discord some of your buddies in from New York, and you guys can just have like a, you know, smack talking contest.
You should pipe into the decompression or the venting of this Yankee team tomorrow that I'm going to do with all my buddies.
Oh, yeah,
that would be great.
We can broadcast it. Do you want to do it? You guys can just talk about all the bad things happen. I can't wait to see how Barstool Sports plays off the, like, how. I don't know. Like, I know we're done with this podcast. If anybody's listened this long, I can't keep going back to those.
What are you talking about? Everybody listens to the final minute.
Those two clowns, those fans that try to rip the ball out of Betts' glove, which they actually did.
It's a publicity stunt.
How Barstool Sports praised those guys, and they were basically treating him like, oh, because of those guys, because of those two clowns, the Yankees are now going to win the World Series. It just bugs me so much.
It's a publicity stunt.
It's a total publicity stunt, but I'm interested to see how their reaction is going to be like tomorrow. I'm not going to go search for it. I'm sure it's going to show up at some point.
Listen, those Gabons deserve their little 15 minutes of fame. And after that, they'll be never heard from again.
Well, you know the history of Boston Marshall Sports. Dave Portnoy, the CEO, you know, when
I like him.
Deflategate and all that stuff, like, was in the court and all that stuff. They're publicity, so, and they celebrate stuff like that. Dave, if you're listening, we got you out here on the West Coast. Go Dodgers.
We're still looking for that pizza that you might like, though, over here.
Yeah. Good luck.
He never comes over here.
Yeah, there's no good pizza out here.
Vincenzo's is pretty good.
Get out of here.
It's not. No. Come it's on. Good, but it's not.
You're embarrassing yourself.
I don't know if I'm embarrassing myself. I'm just telling you that it's pretty good pizza.
No, for LA, maybe.
Oh, I enjoy it. Get off your pizza high horse, dude.
It's not only pizza, bagels. They don't know what a freaking bagel is out here either.
You've never been
Western bagels are pretty good.
And I'm sorry.
Dinks is pretty good.
The Chinese food out here is lacking too. I mean, you guys need to get it together when it comes to those three things.
Well, at least we got World Series titles in LA.
How many got?
Dude, don't say that to him.
How many got?
When was the last time you won one?
But I mean, we have like 27. So, you know, it's just when you get to double digits, you can maybe come talk to me.
We're
okay, buddy?
About now.
Okay, now.
How many you got since we stopped taking steroids?
Listen, everybody was taking steroids.
Yeah, I thought
the Yankees were the only team taking steroids.
You guys had the better
half
dealer.
Your team was in steroids too. Dude, come on, man. You can't say steroids.
You had Clemens, you had Rodriguez.
You had Manny Ramirez. Come on, everybody was taking steroids back then, man. Come on.
Oh, I was a Manny Wood fan.
Yeah, come but on, his dealer wasn't that good. We got busted real fast. What, he last like half a season? And he got. All right. Thank you so much for listening. Go Dodgers. We will catch you guys next time. Bye-bye.